joined by my next guest. I want to talk some basketball with him, and also we're going to talk some running. He is a senior writer at SB Nation. He is a runner, a long-distance runner, an ultra-marathoner. Lots of ground to cover with Paul Flannery. Paul, it is so good to have you back. How are things, Paul?
Oh, Jim, thanks so much for having me. It's great.
Great to have you. All right, so let me start with this. I had Neil Olshea on the show yesterday. We talked a little bit about your great piece on the relationship between Damian Lillard and the city of Portland. What do you think it is about that dynamic that makes that work so well as a marriage between a player and a city?
You know, I think a couple of things. I think Damian, number one, really thought it was important wherever he went. If he was in Milwaukee, if he was in New York, if he was in Chicago, he would be trying to make the same inroads in the community that he does in Portland, and just the kind of person he is. He's a natural leader. But the city of Portland, as an NBA city, just loves what he does. It's a perfect marriage between the two of them because, as he says, you know, we're both low maintenance. We're not looking for attention. We're not looking for spotlight. We just want to help people. And, you know, he's a real authentic person, and Portland is a real authentic place, and they've just connected.
All right, then. Paul Flannery joining us. Let me also ask you about the Celtics. Now, they're up 1-0 in their series, but without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, there's a sense that they've got a ceiling on what they can realistically do this year. That said, how valuable are these playoffs for their younger guys, and how good can this team be when Irving and Hayward do return?
It's huge for him, Jim. And, you know, people here don't really want to hear about it, but from the moment Gordon Hayward got hurt, everyone in the Celtics was whispering, you know, look, this season is about getting Jason Tatum experience and Jaylen Brown experience. That's what this year is all about. Of course we're going to try to compete. And then all those guys started getting hurt, and he said, okay, this is really about getting those guys these reps and this experience. So, you know, it's not a win-win. It's unfortunate. There's only so many years you have to compete with your best players, but you know, from the standpoint of what can we make out of this, they've done a really nice job. I don't know how far it's going to take them. They might lose this series against Milwaukee. They could get to the conference finals. I don't really know what to put on them right now. Clearly, this is not a championship team.
Paul Flannery joining us. All right, then, let me change up on you. Yesterday was the Boston Marathon, and we have talked distance running in the past, but I want to talk to you about serious distance running. You ran a 50K ultra marathon over the weekend. Before I ask you how the race itself went, what possessed you to do that, Paul?
Because it was there. But, you know, I think running the Boston Marathon last year was a weird experience for me, and when I got done with it, I wasn't quite sure what it was I needed to do next as a runner. And the trails were open. I'd never really explored them. And once I did, I just found it was for me. And so, you know, I thought it would be kind of poetic to do one on the same weekend as the Boston Marathon. This is a little event near where I live, and it's called Don't Run Boston. And, you know, it was an unmarked course with no spectators, and I thought, why not?
All right, so it was unmarked, and then on Sunday you tweeted, I got lost, ran an extra 2 miles, and gashed my ankle on a rock, but I ran a bleeping ultra. Let's get into the details now. You laid out where the run was, but what are we talking about in terms of elevation changes, and then how was the run?
Okay, so I'm so glad we're talking about this, Jim, because I can talk about this all day.
Good.
It's 5,000 feet of elevation, and to give people some perspective, the Boston Marathon itself is 500 feet. And that's pretty much all contained within Heartbreak Hill and the couple of hills that lead up to Heartbreak. So this was 5,000 feet. This is like going up Heartbreak Hill 10 times. And it was on rocky, a lot of rock, a lot of scrambling, a lot of hands and knees going up and also coming down, which is really the hard part. And then, you know, it just sort of loops around and loops back upon itself in a number of places. And it's one of the features of it is that this map is a little bit insane, and it's an unmarked course.
It sounds pretty horrible to me, actually, Paul, because I got to be straight, man. The elevation, the rocky terrain, the fact that it's unmarked, I'm going to get lost no matter what. So when you're in the middle of something like that, say you do get lost, say you have to run an extra 2 miles, say you're bleeding from your ankle, what is your mind doing? I mean, at that point, is it as much a mental and psychological battle as it is a physical battle?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I knew I was finishing it. You know, physically, I knew I could do the distance. But so it was mile 22. I lost touch with my pack, which who knew where they were going. So at that moment, I said, this is the one place I don't want to lose them. And of course I did. And of course I went in the wrong direction, almost wound up back on the highway somehow, and had to kind of retrace, regather myself, and then just say, okay, look, you have a map with you. You know where you are, basically, and get back to the point. I had to ask a hiker to get back on track. And at some point I did, and I realized that I'd probably put in an extra mile, mile and a half, maybe even 2 miles onto it. And that's just the way it was going to be. So, you know, I did the last 5 miles with another runner, and we just made a pact that we're going to get each other across the finish line, and we did.
Paul Flannery joins us. You know, Paul, in his book, When I Talk About Running, Haruki Murakami, the novelist, writes about an ultra he ran in, and at a certain point he said every part of his body hurt, and then it all stopped hurting, and that he couldn't feel anything at all. Did you ever have a moment like that?
No, I didn't, fortunately. Right. I know what he's getting at, but I didn't. Didn't have any out-of-body experiences, but we did finish in a sleep storm. So I was, which made me very happy that we did not get sleep in the earlier portion of the race and that we only had to do the last mile and that. I felt every single thing that you could possibly feel on that, hurt, pain, you know, and also joy and jubilation at the finish. So it was pretty much a great day, man.
All right, so for those who don't know, how far is an ultra marathon? And then how does your body feel after you run one in the hours after and even the days after?
So, yeah, 50K is 31 miles, not 32 and a half or 32.7, which I wound up doing. And then they go up. There's a 50-milers, there's 100-milers, there's 200-milers, there's one that go all the way up to 240, which are way beyond my comprehension at this point. And, you know, I mean, my body felt worked, but, I took a little walk today. I feel pretty fine today. So, yeah, I should be back at them by next weekend.
Good. So you got a piece up right now on SBNation.com about Avery Collins. He's an elite distance runner, and you talk about how cannabis is fueling him. Lay it out for me. Exactly who is he?
Right. So Avery Collins is, you know, he's an ultra runner. He's a little new on the scene. He had a big, big year this past year. Won a bunch of big races, and he's been pretty outspoken about his reliance on cannabis as something that helps him in training and also something that's a part of his lifestyle. So I went out to Colorado in late August and met him, and he took me on a run. We went on a run together, and I just sort of got into his mind a little bit. He's an interesting guy. He is a tremendous athlete and a tremendous runner, but he is one of the most mentally strong people I've ever met. And in the piece, I lay out my experience with it and found that the cannabis actually helped my mental mindset deal with, you know, pain and fatigue and frustration and things of that nature. And, you know, I mean, I consider it a tool in the runner toolbox for me. It's not the most prevalent thing in my life, but it's something that has helped.
All right, so what about him? Is that how he uses it? How does he incorporate cannabis into his training?
Yeah, so he uses it a little more than I do. And, you know, he uses it before runs, and he uses the topicals, which are anti-inflammatories, quite a bit. He is adamant, and I have no reason to disbelieve him, that he has never done a race high, which is against the rules. He's passed every drug test he's ever taken. And so it's a part of his life for sure. I don't believe it defines him as such.
Paul Flannery joining me. So, Paul, a number of NFL players have talked about how cannabis has been really helpful for them. So what's your sense as to the attitude in the NBA towards it from a player's perspective and from a coach and front office perspective? Where does that stand right now?
Well, I think it's something that a lot of people don't talk about openly. They might whisper about it a little bit. I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. You know, it's a difficult conversation to have in the sense that the laws are very confusing right now. And, you know, as a league, you have to be careful about that. You have to be cognizant about that. They do lay out the testing rules, and players who don't pass tests essentially are not paying attention to the testing rules as part of their job. But, you know, I think that in the future, as we go along, perhaps it can be used, it can be found to have some realistic medicinal value that might help these guys because they put their bodies through a lot. And at some point, I know players, especially in the NFL, have talked about painkillers and pain substitutions and things of that nature. I think it's a conversation worth having, but it needs to be done openly and without the sort of like joking stoner jokes that go along with it.
Right. I mean, what about this, though? I mean, when you look at it, it's certainly there's a change in how it's being treated in a number of states over the past few years. So is there any part of you that thinks that we might not be that far off from it being a banned substance in professional sports leagues, or is that still a long way off?
Yeah, it's interesting because I got into this a little bit in the piece. I'm not sure that it's not a performance enhancer in some regard, as much as it could be a training aid, if that makes sense. I mean, you know, on some level, Advil is a performance enhancer. So you really have to define these terms and define what it is that's doing for people, because it doesn't just deal with your body; it also deals with your mind, and it's not for everyone. So I'm not sure where this is going to go. I just hope that we're able to have an open dialogue about it without all of our preconceived notions attached to it.
We're talking to Paul Flannery. All right, so next up then, what's the next thing for you? You nailed that 50K ultra marathon. What is the next thing?
Right now, it's getting back into the NBA playoffs. But in terms of my running, I think I got my eye on something in October. But I'm going to take a little bit of time off. I'm going to meet Avery out in July, I believe, late July, and crew for him. He's running 100K in Colorado. He invited me to come out and be part of his crew, which I'm going to try to maybe turn that into a piece. And but now it's just the NBA playoffs, different kind of grind.
Hey, listen, Paul, one last thing. You mentioned Avery. Avery, when you mentioned Avery, you said this guy is a tremendous athlete. You got a quote, though. He says, "I don't think I'm a superhuman athlete. Quote, I thoroughly believe that I'm gritty as bleep. I could take a punch to the face and fight back the whole way." It's a great quote. How accurate is that?
It's entirely accurate. The stories he was telling me about his racing experience, I mean, He had a knot hanging off his Achilles the size of a golf ball, and he taped it up with duct tape and finished second. He had 36 miles to go. Like, this is one of the toughest people I've ever been around mentally. What's interesting is that if you meet him, he just looks like a normal guy. But when you get up in the mountains and you see how he, like, dances over rocks and his running form, you're like, okay. So he's selling himself a little bit short in terms of he is a phenomenal athlete. But it's really his mind, and that's what ultra running is really all about. There's talent that goes with it, but it's your mind.
He is a senior writer at SB Nation and an ultra runner. Paul Flannery, my guest. Paul, great conversation. Really nice to get caught up. Thanks so much for doing it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
That was fun. You got it. Change up on you a little bit.